Good morning. I was just thinking, you know, stuff is starting to get done if you cook. You know, you get to that point where you start to smell it and start smelling good. But the worst is like when you're cooking a roast overnight and you're waking up. Anybody do that? You wake up and you're smelling the roast and you wake up with heartburn because your stomach's been eating that roast all night long. Anyway, starting to smell good. And we'll have a good time of fellowship afterwards. We've got an empty seat here. Tracy's going to join us here in a second. I want to jump right on in. We don't have a whole lot of time this morning. So what I want to say up front is this conversation doesn't end this morning. This is the beginning of a new phase of our conversation, which carries over from our older conversations, which will take us into what will be eventually our new conversations. But family communicates, family talks. I've got a buddy of mine that's been staying with us this weekend. He and I are going to go up to Indianapolis this evening, and I've known him since fifth grade, but I haven't seen him for 17 years. And when he pulled his Jeep in our driveway yesterday afternoon and walked around to the front porch, it took all of about 1.5 seconds just to kind of pick up where you left off, because that's the way family communicates. And so that's where we are. And we want to have a little chat this morning, but we don't want it to end here. We want this to be a springboard into picking up where we left off each time we see each other. And just as kind of an introduction to what we're doing this morning, your scripture teaches us that anyone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ is part of the church. So we've got this great building here, and this town's got a number of what we would call churches, but not really. You're either part of the church or you're not. You've got a lot of buildings, we've got a lot of resources, we've got a lot of denominations, but there's one true church, and that church is comprised of people who have received Jesus Christ and his saving grace. And so for purposes of this morning, as far as harvest is concerned, we've really got two harvests, so to speak. One is harvest the church, which is part of a larger church, which just isn't us. It's part of something that we belong to that's much, much bigger, even along the corridors of time. All believers that were essentially retroactively made whole through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. So we've got the Old Testament believers, we've got the early believers, we've got 2,000 years of church history believers, we've got believers that are going to come after us. That's the church, that's all of us. But we have this local expression that we call harvest. And so we have a larger, dynamic, living, growing organism, but we've got this little faith family here. And so while we have a big church, we have a little church, and we have this little community. So sometimes harvest, when we talk about being a church, is part of the bigger church. Sometimes harvest is our faith family, and we've started to use that over the last couple of years just to express community and who we are. But when we get together, our particular expression, and you all that have been here, you know this, our particular expression of how we are Christ's church means that we meet together on Sunday mornings to worship. And the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 10:25 admonishes us to not neglect getting together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's a good thing to worship together. And Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus and Colossae to greet each other with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And Paul exhorts the church in Rome to preach God's word so that people will put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so he's telling the church at Ephesus and Colossae and Rome, and through his writings, what's he saying? Meet and greet and exhort. And sometimes we can use encourage instead of exhorting, but we're to meet and to greet and to exhort. We're to do all of it. And so as an introduction, what we're doing on Saturday mornings, we've got coffee, we've got donuts, we've got people. Sunday morning, yeah, I said Saturday morning, didn't I? Saturday morning, I'm going to have coffee, but I'll be in my pajamas. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll do something like that for the football club, but not on Saturday. Yes. So Sunday mornings, right, we have coffee, we have donuts, we have fellowship. We don't have the coffee and donuts afterwards, but we stay and we fellowship, and we've got this part of it where we meet and we greet and we're family, and then we move into the service, and we have worship through music, and we have worship through a sermon, and we have the Word of God preached, because we meet and we greet and we exhort. And right now we're primarily, not exclusively, but primarily going through verse by verse, precept by precept. It's called preaching expositionally. And that's not always the case. We're building in some free Sundays where we can have folks talk about their missionary trips, and if somebody's got something that the Lord has given them for that particular Sunday, we want to build in some flexibility. But for the most part, we're preaching through the Bible. And folks have, you know, some folks have said, well, why are we doing that? That's something new. We haven't done that in the past. And honestly, and Tracy and Bobby and Sean are going to get into some of the other reasons why. But you know, it keeps us honest. It keeps those who are delivering the word in the word, and it forces us to teach through difficult, sometimes what might be boring. I mean, I'm the guy who got stuck with the genealogies, right? But they're in there, and the word of God is profitable. All of it's profitable. It forces us to teach through what might otherwise be controversial passages, as well as the more lighthearted and uplifting. We end up becoming accountable to the Word of God. It's the direct revelation of God in His Scripture. We let it read us. And so we exhort and we encourage, and we're going through the Bible expositionally. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and it's important that God's people know all of His Word. And so today, as we have this little chat and we meet and we greet and we exhort, there are a couple of different topics that these gentlemen are going to address and chat with you about. Who's responsible for doing what and why? What does it mean to have a plurality of leadership? We don't have a senior one guy teaching pastor anymore. What does that look like? What does that mean for us? What do we do about, what's that? Why? Yeah, exactly. Why is that the case? What happens then with pastoral care? If we don't have what we consider a traditional pastor, then who's doing the pastoral care, and what does that look like? And where do we go as a family forward? How do we move forward from here? And these men up here are a representation of the leadership. They're not all of the leadership. We've got some elders, but not all. We've got some deacons up here, but not all. And we've got some folks that have learned and have decided and been convicted simply to share and to serve and to come alongside the deacons and the elders, but certainly not all. So it's not us four and no more. We're simply a representative of what the leadership is at this point. And one more point I want to make before I give the mic to Tracy. My last year of law school, the faculty at each law school at graduation will pick one of the graduating class to give a commencement address or a challenge to their class. And I had the honor of being selected by my faculty on my graduation to challenge my fellow students. And I was really obviously wanting to bring Scripture into that and to develop it around Scripture, and was praying for a couple of weeks about what I should do. And one of my professors, good guy, was a parental figure, older brother kind of guy who had kind of taken me under his wing, and he had suggested that I meditate on Micah 6:8, and that I maybe consider using that as the challenge to my class. I love that verse, and from that day, I mean, I don't like the Christian cliche of life verse, but that is my life verse. I've got it hanging on the wall in my office. Micah 6:8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And those are the harvest big ideas. That's up in and out, to borrow a phrase from a few years ago. We have the up, walk humbly with the Lord your God. We've got the in, we love mercy and we show love to our family. And we have the out because we act justly. And so those are the big ideas. That's the umbrella. And what we talk about with the rest of it comes under that heading. But we want to be a Micah 6:8 church. And with that, I'll turn the mic over to Tracy.
So you guys have probably noticed over the past few years, we've got multiple teachers coming up and teaching. We've got multiple people who are leading music. There's just been a plurality in that. And that also carries over into the leadership, where there's multiple people that are there, that are meeting during these meetings, or praying, or discussing, or digging in and figuring out, you know, what does the scripture say we're supposed to look like? What does the scripture say that we're supposed to do, and how we act, and how we portray that? And so that's what we've been doing. And with that plurality, you know, we dove in and we said, what we really see is that Jesus is the main shepherd. There is no one shepherd as far as a person goes other than Jesus. And we want to follow him. And if we had just one person being the head over this body, over this church, as far as a human being wise, it just didn't really fit. Because as you go through and you read the scriptures, you know, even Paul would go out and teach, but he would raise up people at the places that he went to take over those leadership. Not one person, but people to take over, so that he could go and teach another town, another city, to do the same. And so that's kind of how we are doing this, how we're acting, and how we're trying to follow that out in that. With that, you know, we have elders, and we have deacons, and as Jonathan said, we have just people who are coming alongside of the leadership to do that. And so we believe that there are many other elders and deacons in this body right now that haven't quite either thought that they couldn't, or thought that they shouldn't, or whatever. We don't believe that who meets on Wednesday nights is it. In fact, we would hope there's many more, because there's not a very big group right now, is there? And so, and we think there's a lot of people who had the deacon who were there to come alongside of the elders and serve them and help them and do some of those tasks that are the day in, day out type things. We also believe that the scripture lays out a direct path of how that elder or deacon should be living their life. And really, to be honest with you, that doesn't leave anybody who doesn't have a title or whatever out of those things. Everybody should aspire to live those lifestyles, that lifestyle of following Jesus. And we believe all Christ believers, Christ followers should uphold to those. And so you'll see the different types. Now, with that said, also, that means the title of pastor, like, and Jonathan touched on this a little bit, the title of pastor, we believe that pastoring is a gift, is a spiritual gift, not necessarily like a title that you put on a business card, per se, that we see. And so with that, you know, with Sean, and just to clarify some of the things, you know, Sean kind of came into the role and just kind of took over what was there. And then as we've been digging in, you know, we started looking at it and say, you know, Sean's not the head pastor. And so that's kind of where we're at with that. And we would see more of him as an administrative elder type person. But we have many pastors here, and you can see them as they go around, and they have those pastoral tendencies, those shepherding, those mother hen tendencies. You see it on Sunday mornings, early mornings, afterwards. Just to pick on Merlin, Merlin's definitely one of them that has that. He has kids in his hands about every time you turn around, especially my kid. He goes and he greets others, and I'm just picking on him. I know there's many more out there that do this. And so that's what we consider. We consider there's many apostles out here. There's many teachers, as you can tell. There's missionaries. There's all kinds of different people out here in this body. And as we are a body, so as one's the hand, one's the foot, one's the arm, but Christ is the head. And that's what we're going to strive for, and that's what we're trying to do. And yeah, it's just a word, and I know we've Americanized it in our own way and gave pastor our own definition, where pastor means you're the one who has to speak every Sunday, you're the one that has to go to all the hospital meetings, you're the one that has to do all the funeral. Like, we've given it that title, but when you dig into the scripture, that's really not the definition that was there. And in fact, if you try to do everything as a pastor, many of us have seen it, you burn out. Because there's too many things going on in the world. There's too many people for one person to be doing that. And we're going to dig into that a little deeper in a minute also. To say, well, then who takes care of those things? Who does that? And so with the plurality, one of the things, and I know there's been some talk and some questions and stuff, and I'm more than willing to answer questions, but one of the things is that I'm being sent out right now to actually have a home fellowship on Sunday mornings. And the reason for this is there are our mission, our vision actually, is to engulf the community with the love of Christ. And we understand that there are going to be people who just don't want to step foot into anything called church that looks like the normal American church. And so what we did, me and my wife, is we're starting to open our home up to those type of people who might not want to do it. Maybe they've been hurt. We've had people who come that's just been hurt by the church. We've had people who just didn't want to go anywhere that Sunday, so they walked across our grass because they're our neighbors just to come over on Sunday morning to meet. And that's what we're doing. So we're doing that, but then to stay connected, once a month, we're coming back. And it's usually the first Sunday. We switched at this one because we had this meeting. Usually the first Sunday of the month, we come back. And if this grows and as it grows, we're going to continue to say, hey, you know what, just go find somewhere where you feel comfortable at or you believe God's wanting you to kind of go and connect with. And go connect there, and we can come back each Sunday other than the first Sunday of the month and reconnect and do that. And so we're aligning with the vision, with the goals, with the values of Harvest still. We're not separating. That is not what I'm doing. But we're an add-on, more of a satellite-style church then at our house meeting. And again, that's just something that we felt called to do, but we also did not want to step away or leave Harvest as a whole and as our family. Just wanted to add to and contribute to even more, maybe a little deeper than what we could on a Sunday. So that count, that's falling into that plurality of leadership, that plurality of being called, because man, Jesus calls each one of us to a specific place, a specific thing. He's given each one of us specific talents and gifts that we are to use to help encourage and build up the body. And that's why plurality is so important. That's why plurality, because it's not one person, but it's a collective group of people following after Jesus with anything he's giving us.
Tracy spoke of hands and feet. So I'm going to give a little bit of introduction of what we mean by that, and it's called pastoral care. We have some offices that are in place, some that we would like to add to, but I'm going to give you a list of how we title them and who we think are got the gifts and are walking in that. And the first one is, if you're struggling with faith and biblical questions, there is a group of people that you can contact, or you can contact us, and we'll put you in contact with them, who may help you with those questions, such as John and Brianna Davison, Nick and Katie Dahl, Jonathan and Amanda, and Sean and Emily. Now, that's not the whole. That's just part. There's more out there. And I think that's what we're after. If we all have gifts, and we want you to come forward and to utilize that gift. Another one is substance addiction. Well, we got one guy that really works it up pretty hard, and that's Brad Rainey. He does a wonderful job at that. He's not afraid to meet that. Psychological addictions, we have places that we can send people to, you get in contact with them. Professional counseling, we have Andre Knepp, we have Fred White, Red Hills Counseling over in Illinois. So there's people who can help you through these things if you just let the body know, and we can get you in contact with them. Marital counsel. Brad and Michelle, Jonathan and Amanda. There's more. We'd like for you to come forward and join this list. You are the hands and feet to this body. The elders and the deacons don't have to do it alone. Financial counseling at Shorty Knipp, Tracy Cook, Emily. There's a lot of people here that needs counseling in finances. There is a body here who can help do that if you would come forward. Medical and physical abuse. You can call 911, but you can call the crisis. Hope's Voice. Or you can contact us. We'll put you in contact with somebody. Maybe somebody here. If you got a, we can handle that, maybe. Don't call me, but. Yeah, conflict resolution. Jonathan and Amanda, Tracy and Amber. There's another name down here, but I won't say that one. But anyway, it seems like the, no, I won't go there. I'll scratch that. Need for prayer and somebody to fast with you along with that prayer. Jeff Frederick. He's a prayer warrior. He can pray with you. But we don't know you need that unless you contact us, unless you contact somebody. You have to contact somebody. We need to be a body who feels the needs of others. But a lot of times we can't do that unless somebody tells us. We need to know what's going on. So contact guidance and discernment. That's something that's a need. And is a gift that's here in this body in a lot more ways than people really understand and realize. And hospital, sickness, surgeries. We don't know sometimes when you go, but somebody does. You need to call in to the office, tell Mary Teresa, and she will contact the right person or persons, or call one of the elders, call one of the leadership. But we have to know that, because I don't take the paper, so I don't know what's going on. Homeless, transit, Tracy Cook, Nathaniel Rainey. Those are good guys there that you can contact. And resource needs, connections, and the elders. If you need food, you need transportation, sometimes even finances, if you need that, you have to let us know. Somebody's got to let us know. And we'll try to meet those needs. You guys are the hands and feet, along with the leadership, a lot more than what you understand and realize. We need you. We need you bad. So explore your gifts. You need help? Find that gift? Meet with us. We're supposed to know that, because God gave us a gift, every one of us, and talents. So contact us. Thank you.
I get the privilege. I see it as kind of painting a picture forward. I know as I didn't come to be a believer, really, until I started dating my wife shortly after we had graduated high school, and came to understand who he was by attending church with her. She wasn't purposefully missional dating, But ultimately, she did, unbeknownst to herself. But so through seeing her relationship with Christ and going to a local church, I came to understand who God is, who Jesus Christ was, and ultimately now have been in some form of ministry for about the past 14 or 15 years. Through that time, whether it be at a church, a structured church, whether it be at a ministry, an outreach, I've had those times, and I think many of us have, and you read books upon book upon book about what would it look like if we could just scrap everything and start from scratch. I wish we could go back to the book of Acts, where Christ has given his commission, and then everybody is part of that church that has just formed, and be a part of that. Break bread together, give to those that are in need, pray together, walk and do life together. And I've read so many different things on that, and found myself not even purposefully, but even thinking about what that would look like. And it came to me these past couple of weeks as we've been talking about meeting here in this meeting and sharing together. I've been given the opportunity to be a part of that, of doing just that. We haven't devised any of this outside of what we see as in Scripture. We haven't come up or landed on anything within Scripture so that we can point at others to say, you're doing this wrong. We solely sat down, a group of men, and I can tell you from being with them week in and week out, a group of men that they only want to know what God wants for this body of believers. It's not filtered through the church down the street or the church in another city or a website that somebody stumbled upon. We came together and looked at Scripture. And so as these guys shared, it excites me. It stirs, we say, stirs my heart to hear Jonathan talk about this family of believers that we want to operate. We want to be organized enough that we're effective, but we're open to God's Spirit to guide and direct us. We don't program him out of our lives. And then in hearing Tracy share with you where we found ourselves in leadership, this wasn't, again, didn't set out to turn anything upside down. We started saying, what does this look like? What did the early church look like? What does the New Testament church look like? What do these scriptures tell us? And we see scripture after scripture of the body of believers being led and protected by the elders, prayed for, and upheld. But a body of believers that were the church, and each one acting in their spiritual giftedness, serving the need of the community and sharing the gospel. And so that's where we've fallen and where we've come to rest. And so now Bobby shares with you these gifts that we all have. Historically, I can tell you, if you point at any church, almost any church in the United States, I'm sure there's a season where someone that was a part of it would say, well, they don't really care, or they're too busy for me, or they don't have any way to take care of me. Or so we haven't historically been a hands-on, pastorally driven church, but we want to be, and we want to care, and we want to walk alongside, and we want to laugh with and cry with. And so when we get to this point, we thought we came to a point where, you know what, we just have to have a plan ahead of time. So when these needs present themselves, we're not acting reactionary, we're being proactive. And so the idea is having, and I'm sure this list is going to multiply as the days go by, because we haven't hit every dynamic of what people are going through and what the needs are in our community. But when there is a family that is having some marital issues, we want to be able to guide and direct them to couples that is a passion that they have and a gifting that they have. Or the financial piece, or struggles in biblical questions, or illnesses. We want to be able to come and pray with individuals before they have procedures, or come and visit them after the fact, or as they're doing rehabilitation. Have we been great at that historically? No. Do we long to be effective in a body that comes alongside of each other? Absolutely. And so that's our hope in this planning, that we strategically line up those that have giftings in those to be able to minister, because that's how God has called the church. He's told us we have gifts and we need to exercise those gifts. So we will continue to be challenging not only ourselves, but everyone within this body that calls Harvest their home. What are your gifts? How can you walk alongside people? How can you be involved? So you get to a point where, okay, well, what does that look like? Let's talk a few nuts and bolts, and then we'll open for some questions if you have any questions. Well, nuts and bolts, if we're leading from a plurality, if we have many gifts and talents of teaching and pastoring, well, then not any one person needs to really be teaching more so than anybody else, because I've never been a part of a fellowship that has 7 or 8 very gifted individuals that can bring the word in a different dynamic each and every week. And I hopefully you appreciate that. I know there is some, I'm going to acknowledge there is some comfort in coming and knowing that one individual person is going to speak, and you enjoy that person's style or that person's technique or that person's insight. And there is a familiarity and there is a draw for some to come back week after week after week. I hope here that we are a family that enjoys the nuances and the differences of Jonathan teaching, or myself, or Nathaniel, or Tracy, or Nick, or Jeff and Brad, because it's amazing the gifts that have been assembled here. So what do we want to do? Well, we've already, after this point, are transitioning to where we have a rotation of 5 or 6 different people. I won't necessarily be teaching 50% of the time, which I kind of just assumed that role as when Mo transitioned to a new chapter in Fort Wayne. And so we want to do things that are embracing and underscore this plurality. We want to meet together. We're restarting our lunches after a break in the summer. We want to meet together, to share meals together, to break bread together. We want to pour into our youth ministry, the children's church, the Davidsons that help to oversee that. We want to pour in into that. These electives that are coming up, that's another thing. As a church, Jonathan had shared, the purpose of the church is to equip those to come into a mature faith, to be able to go out then and minister and witness to those in the community and around. And so we want to come and spend some time in electives in doing that, in hopes of doing different ones throughout the year, that there would be something that would strike an interest with you. Again, we're going to start with a defending your faith questions that you may have, or others that ask you, as they know you're a believer and you're at work and something's happened and they say, well, what's this about this Jesus? Or why does Jesus let Hurricane Irma come and devastate areas? Well, these are things that we search Scripture, and these are things that we want to dive into and learn more about and understand. So our hope is to provide opportunities. We are all about fostering environments that will engage people, but it has to be us. I put myself in that same place, us that takes advantage of those opportunities. Because we are not going to be, if you're looking to this church to do everything for you and program everything to a point, you're going to just sorely miss out on what God has for us and what He's calling you to. We want to look for opportunities, and this will come from you. Look for input and opportunities of how can we engulf this community with the love of Christ. We can't literally engulf this entire community sheerly based on our size, but we can find individual opportunities that we can begin to do that. And so I would challenge you to bring those opportunities, whether it be partnering with another church to do some type of outreach event or doing something here in our own building. I feel the opportunities are endless. We have a group of women that are planning and want to begin different types of ministries. We have several groups of women that are already meeting, a young group that are meeting and doing a Bible study. We want to get, Jonathan shared with us, getting guys together at his home every couple of weeks for football, during the football season, to fellowship and hang out together. We want opportunities to serve the community and serve those within in this place. So different connecting points, serving opportunities, that type of thing. And I can tell you, this church will grow and flourish when each of us begin to embrace who God made us to be. So I think that's our challenge in sharing this, is letting you know first and foremost up front, this is a church that intends to continue to be led by the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, and then one that is into a season of being the hands and feet, moving into a season of doing. We don't want to be a church that meets on one given day and then disbands until that next week. And so hopefully, as we move forward, there will be things that you can give, input you can give, and hopefully you will see things that build into that. At this point, we have, and we would like to have the questions, if someone does have questions, so that everyone can hear. But at this point, is there anyone that has questions? And if the four of us will figure out who's best suited, or if you have a question for a specific person, we'd encourage you that. And even some of those that are part of the leadership team that are not up here, I'm thinking of Shorty, Merlin, Jeff, several other, Brad's back there. If you have a specific question or just a generalized question, we just encourage you, if we continue, and this won't be the only time that you have to ask those questions. Does anybody just raise your hand if you have? Miss Addie.
I would like to know about the clothing bank. I've seen it before. I worked the clothing bank before. And is it up and running? And how does someone volunteer, or how do we put people in touch with the clothing bank?
Awesome question. Yes, it is. It is downstairs. If you are familiar with the building, room one, right next to the boiler room 101, many know it as the youth recovery room. If you go through that room into the next doorway, we have a clothing bank here in the building. Right now it is on referral basis, meaning if some of the entities that use us on a regular basis, CASA, Women's Lighthouse, the different social workers that are a part of Ireland Home-Based Services and Raintree Consulting, a lot of the families that do supervised visits for youth and children that have been removed from the home and are in foster care, they're doing supervised visits, so they are working with parents. We have not opened that for we're open Monday through Friday this time to this time. We basically, if there's a need, Connections knows about us and that type of thing. With that said, it's interesting that you bring that up, because on my heart, a very quick service project would be, we have had tons of donations. We have had people that have come and volunteered their time and their energy, and it is very well kept at this point, very organized, fairly organized, in group men's, women's, kids. But we're busting at the seams with donations, and so we're talking about, even just leadership and staff-wise, of doing a clothing giveaway. And not just a referral only, but picking a particular weekend and doing maybe a Saturday and a Sunday, or a Friday and Saturday, doing a open public clothing. We know the seasons are changing. We did a big coat giveaway last year. But we would love to see people that want to be a part of that to come and join and be a part of that, help to plan when we give it away or what that. But, yes, it is in effect. We have a lot of people that donate, and we haven't publicly asked for donations a lot because we did have so much stuff. But did that answer? Do you have additional questions? Yeah, I would encourage anybody, as we move forward, any way that you would like to be a part, or maybe there's just something on your heart. Say, I don't know what this looks like, but I just see there's a lot of need with clothing and kids with school stuff. I would encourage you, we have an awesome hub of information that we're forming in this office directly behind me. And so we would encourage anybody to contact and talk to Mary Teresa, and then at that point, then she can plug it into the right person to make sure, if she doesn't have the answer, that the right person gets the right question. And gets you in contact. And our heart is that then when that's forwarded on, those individuals make contact right away and follow up. And that's something that we've been talking about too, is as we kind of line out these plans for pastoring, it looks great on paper, but unless somebody is following through and willing to be a part, then it just kind of falls on its face. So we're very serious about doing our very best to follow through. Questions.
Just to add a little addendum on that, because it's something that we talk about each Wednesday, and it's a priority. We really want Harvest to be a dispatch center. Sean and Emily and the leadership, and even my son Keaton this summer, spent a lot of time and a lot of resources revamping the website, looking at Facebook, trying to find ways with social media to be connected, to get the word out, to have better advertising, so to speak, within our family. And this is something, it's not just platitudes. This is really where this thing works or doesn't work. And so if there's a need, my dad, when I was growing up, used to tell me, the only dumb question is the question you want to ask but don't. Okay. Needs, unless we know, as Bobby was indicating, I mean, we know some of them, but we don't know the people that you know, and you don't know the folks we do, and we're a family, but we have this sphere of influence that's unique to each one of us. Call MT. Use Harvest as a dispatch center. We can't all do everything, but we know somebody, whether it's one of these guys or one of the ladies in the church or the different resources we all bring to the mix. There is somebody that can begin to meet that need or walk that out, whether it's clothing or addiction recovery or fellowship, whatever it happens to be. But please do use this church office as a dispatch center, and let us try to match a resource with a need for you.
Mr. Herschel has a question.
I'm not sure how to present this, but I guess I'll just present it. we do have a lot of good teachers that's been presenting the word, and I guess what I see, there's a difference between a teacher and a preacher. And what I see here is great teaching, but not, I don't feel accountability that's and challenges to the body as much as, like, going back with Mo, he challenges and maybe held the body accountable. I'm not sure how to address that, but that's just what I see.
In that question, what did you see? And I understand, because I think before we answer, we got to kind of understand what's being asked. I understand the question in a challenge. I understand what that would look like. What did the accountability side look like?
Just that, like challenge the body through hold a body accountable through challenging the I'm not sure how that would look like, but just biggest thing is a challenge. Bring it to the body with a challenge. I'm not sure if I'm explaining what I'm thinking.
Well, and in the two words, and let me see if I can key in on the two of them. Of course, you've got the challenge and you've got the accountability. So to the first point with the challenge, let me just say absolutely. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about as leadership, regardless of who's up here giving the word, is let's really begin to focus on where the rubber hits the road and how is that word practical to where we are? What's the takeaway? How do we work with this? How can we incorporate it? You know, the scripture tells us, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so, absolutely, that's something that needs to be a priority. It's something that we're addressing, and I think that you'll begin to see that practicality in the word as we move forward. Now, as far as the accountability part of it, and I know everybody's got different schedules, but that's part of what we want to do on Wednesday nights. And that's part of why we've made the invitation to come pray with the leadership on Wednesday nights. And I get it that, you know, we've got work schedules and family schedules. And, you know, I can't, there's not a single one of us here that makes every one of them. But to a certain extent, that's where we want accountability to start. And that's where, like, this pastoral care stuff we're talking about too. If someone calls in, and Mary Teresa calls my wife Amanda and I and says, these folks need some counseling with marriage, that Wednesday night is set up for me to give a report back. Am I doing my job? I've been dispatched to do something. What have I done? What are my prayer requests? What are my resources that I need? How are those folks doing? And so we're hoping that we can begin on Wednesday nights to start getting into the accountability. How have you used the word from last week? Did it challenge you? Is it something that you've been struggling with? How have you been struggling? Have you been able to work it in with your neighbors? And so we're hoping to start jump-starting that accountability and that conversation on Wednesday nights. We don't want it to stay there, but it's got to start someplace. And so that's the idea. And as that, again, just a general invite, we meet most Wednesday nights. I think if there are five Wednesdays, first and third, yeah. We can get you on an email distribution list. If you let us know that you want to be a part of that, just find one of us and we'll get a way to communicate with you so that you know that that's what's happening. And I know that's not a complete answer, but I hope it's a start.
One more thing with that is first of all, thanks, because that's a hard question to ask, and I appreciate it. I understand. I get it. That's what family does right there, is just to ask those questions. And says, hey, I know this is hard. Might hurt some feelings, but I don't want to, but I'm trying not to. How do I say this? And so that's what we're encouraging as far as question-wise. Also, understand that Maury had, 30-some years of teaching whenever he left, as far as how long he's been doing it. And some people who get up and teach, they haven't had that long yet. Maybe I know for one has had one, right? 1 year, and that was here. And he's gotten better progressively each Sunday. Each time he's taught. And so Maury was super good at communicating and the way he did and challenging and doing that. And so I think as we grow and as they grow, as the teachers grow, it's going to continue to look like that. We're having these hard discussions and saying those same things. In fact, I've brought it up a few times with everybody, with each other. Does that make sense? So thanks.
I think the challenging and the accountability could come from the last 10 minutes of when the message is given to open that mic up again and hear what the Lord is doing in our lives. And if there was a challenge on a certain thing about maybe outreaching to your neighbor, and if you applied that week and it really changed you, then just that 10 minutes of someone sharing about how the message worked in their lives but I missed that part.
And I don't think that has been, I know it was never a discussion, was never purposefully phased out, I think, depending upon who was teaching. We have had the discussion, though, of making sure that we want to be, to be cognizant of the Spirit leading. So I know some individual teachers, based on the passage that they're on, have built that in purposefully. I know I have on occasion felt that and opened that. But that is something that I think that we want to be open to. And we've seen a different style of opening the last couple of weeks, of praying together, several individuals praying. We want to be a church that also there is an order. We're called to be orderly in our worship, but we also want to be open to the Holy Spirit and how we express that and how we do that. So we're definitely, as a body and a leadership, we definitely see value in individuals sharing with what they're going through, or if it, you know, again, stirs something in their heart, and if it, obviously, we want that to apply to the word it. The word itself. And real quick, and we'll take another question, but nuts and bolts, the other thing that struck me was we're taking a break. Not only are we mixing up the teaching schedule, but we also are purposefully scheduling about every 6 weeks or so a break from our particular study. So we're journeying through the book of Luke. We purposefully have about every 6 weeks or so nothing scheduled on that particular Sunday right now. We have this mapped out through the end of Luke, and we have them set aside and earmarked, so they're scheduled, but we're going to be listening to you guys, listening to the Lord, and as a leadership, and seeing what we want to. Maybe it's a prayer service. Maybe someone has a word that they've come to the elders and shared, and the Lord's really spoke to me in this matter, and we all agree that it would be a benefit to the body, then we'll have that individual share on that particular Sunday. So we also want to be more cognizant of not just hammering through sections, but being open to taking some breaks, some pit stops, some off ramps, and seeing what God has to teach to us.
I was reading in the chapter of Acts, or the book of Acts last night, and I don't really think it makes a difference. He gives the message as long as they're bold and courageous, because Peter was kind of the main guy, and he was, they had the apostles, the teaching back when the first church started. So as long as we're bold and
I appreciate that. Amen. Any additional questions? Miss Gail, and then back over to Miss Lori.
I have a question, but I just wanted to add something to what I was saying before. If you would go home and pray today, they're going to be getting the high winds starting at around 6 o'clock. The eye will be over the Tampa Bay areas where my family is at 2 o'clock a.m. And importantly, it's not just the hurricane itself, but the aftermath. communication, bringing supplies, just all would go well. And one thing I got impressed upon me, or I feel from God, is that He is totally in control. And there is not one drop of rain that's going to fall without His permission, or a wave that's going to come up out of the ocean without His permission. And He, my Father, can speak to the storm. And so I just wanted to, I have a homeless brother, on the concrete homeless, that I am concerned that he would find safety. My daughter-in-law went yesterday, sought him out, and let him know he could come to her home, but nobody's heard from him. My question is about the Facebook page that someone worked hard to put together, and I requested on there for prayers and for my family. I'm not sure why, but I didn't see anyone from our church with a word of encouragement or prayer. I don't know if people were not on it, but I saw many of friends of mine who are unbelievers. I'm just thinking this could be a huge opportunity if we all maybe got involved in that, and they could see what we're doing through reaching out into the community and even miles away. I may be mistaken about that. I'm not sure how that works, but
so what was the question?
Well, it was, I'm kind of confused as to why I didn't see any comments from the church. Like, you know, there's a place for comments. And when I requested prayer for my family, I didn't see any comments from anyone I knew. I might be missing something. I don't know.
Was it posted on?
Yes.
The specific?
Did anyone see it? Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't get it on there.
Yeah. Where was that posted on your personal page or on the Harvest page?
No, it was posted on the Harvest.
Okay. I went back and looked.
Maybe it's my.
I'll address that with you after. Okay. I went back after you had texted me yesterday. I went back and looked at all the visitor posts. See, when it's an organization, an individual cannot post directly on the main page.
Oh, okay.
It goes to a special section, which is called visitor posts. And so it keeps me from going to the Nike Facebook page and posting whatever I want. It's just a safeguard
for that organization.
But it does post.
I went back and
scrolled through that, and I did not see any post that was made. So I just want to make sure if there was if something didn't function correctly, apologize for that. People to know that they can come and share that. The best thing, honestly, would be to contact, and I realize this was a weekend, so it's not possible, but if it's during a week, to contact Mary Teresa, who's an administrator of that page. You share that prayer request and those issues, and she will be happy to put that directly on the page, and it will show up in that main feed and not in the visitor section.
Okay.
So there's some technicalities
with
that.
Well, you answered a question then.
Absolutely.
I was totally lost about that.
Anything else regarding the different topics and stuff that we had started to unpack this morning?
I think we need a women's Facebook page, like Harvest Women group, and then we can talk and pray and whatever.
Absolutely.
That would be helpful.
That would be wonderful. You'd share, if you want to touch base with Mary Teresa, and she would be happy to, because I know there is some conversation of different women that have felt called to minister within the body, and so that would be a great place to start. Thank you for that.
One more. The chickens are going to get cold.
Nah, we got one back in the back here also, and Miss Lori, so we'll go two more. And then any questions that have not been answered, we are going to encourage you to come downstairs and ask face-to-face. We would love to continue the conversation. Miss Lori?
The only thing I would like to see is more altar calls, more time at the end of the service for the new people, the new believers. You know, if something stirs in their heart and they're led to accept Christ, that they don't walk out the door without the opportunity to do so.
Absolutely. I would. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. I think it's a point that as we begin to or continue to talk within among the teachers, those that are bringing the word each week, that we have kind of a template. That within that message, based on the word, that there, how are we challenging the people? How does this speak to our faith? And maybe if we don't have a faith, if an individual doesn't have faith, how can we call them to that? I think that is what we are as a church called to do. Absolutely.
Hello. It's loud, isn't it? My name is Robin Roberts, and I'm from DeLand, Florida. And I started an organization called Community of Hope International. And we started it within our church. And what it did was train lay pastoral caregivers. You were talking about we needed to be a community. And I don't belong to this church, but I just couldn't help it. I'm hearing all this, what you may or may not need. But each and every one of us you were talking about has talent. We do have talent. And there's lots of us in here that said, well, you know, we know somebody in trouble, but we don't know what they need. Well, one of the things in Community of Hope teaches us is to listen with our hearts and not our ears. And sometimes it's very hard for people to come to leaders of a church and talk to them about their personal problems. So each one of us can be a minister in our own way. So what needs to maybe happen is that some of the people here that feel like, I just couldn't be a minister to somebody, I couldn't be a lay pastoral caregiver. If they had a little training, they might be able to step up to the plate and say, I could listen. Because there are times that people need just to hear themselves talking to someone. And you just need to nod your head and say, that's all right to feel that. So maybe if you'd like me to talk to you later about this Community of Hope, or at least not necessarily Community of Hope, I'm not here to, you know, push this or anything, but what I am here is I just have this calling here when I'm sitting here, and I'm saying if you would like to be introduced to some of the training so that everyone feels that if they were called, they could go and listen with their hearts, not necessarily be a lawyer, not necessarily be a doctor, necessarily be a psychologist or anything else, but just be a person listening. So if that's of interest, I'd be glad to talk to you afterwards about some of the training I have that I'd be glad to share with you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'll end with that is our heart is the equipping. Our heart, as we transition on the electives with the defending your faith, we need to learn more about spiritual giftings. What does each gifting is about? What does that look like in real time and that type of thing? And then those, as they kind of dig into that, then seek out additional training or seek out additional material or dive into that deeper. So we want to equip those that feel they can pastor. We want to walk with them and figure out what that looks like and train them up or show them what that looks like so that they can pastor those and teaching and gifts and service and that type of thing. Thank you very much. And
then Bobby's gonna... You want to go ahead and get the offering? I guess we can go ahead and start the offering right now while I'm talking. But what's so cool about all this is I feel like there was a foundation set, and it's been set for a long time, and we're starting to build up on that foundation that was set many years ago when we first started. And so we're just beginning a new chapter, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and yeah, there's going to be some nuances, there's going to be different things going on, and places where we can get better, because we're not going to be perfect. But that's what's exciting to me, and that's what I hear. And so that's why I'm even doing, even up here doing what I'm doing, is because I'm excited about it and to see it.
We're not going to do communion this morning the way we most generally do it, but I invite you to have communion downstairs. We're going to eat and drink downstairs with one another. And that's probably one of the best communions there is. Now, I won't say that, but anyway. But in closing, I would like to challenge you. Here's a challenge. To read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts. And the part, and the body has many different parts. But we're all one body. We need to operate as a unit. How do you explain that? Well, I don't know. We are. For instance, if my left hand is injured and I can't use it, what does that do to my body? It makes my right hand do overtime. I got to pick up some of the slack that my left hand's not doing. So if you're not doing what God has called you to do as a gift or a talent, it hurts the body. Not just you personally, but it hurts the whole body. So I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12. I can't say that for some reason or other. But anyway, we're going to close with prayer. By the way, if you're a visitor, we invite you to come downstairs for a meal. There's plenty of food, good chicken, and I heard there's chocolate cake down there. I heard that a while ago, and that's what I'm looking forward to. So let's stand. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we just pray that what was set up here and what was set out there, Lord, would be lifting, pleasing to you. Lord, we gather here especially today just to worship you. I pray that it was a good aroma to your nostrils, Lord, that you receive praise and glory out of our service this day, Lord. And now, Lord, I'd like to thank you for the food. I'd like to thank you for the guys who prepared it, for the women who prepared it, Lord. I ask that you would bless it and bless its intended use. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You are dismissed. You can make your way to the cafeteria multiple ways down the front hallway there.